You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, that's it. Sony has bowed to pressure from hackers, and now Paramount is blocking one of its movies from being screened. Our movie guy joins us live to talk about that, and plus the Hobbit movie, and how to turn an at-risk youth into a real man and a future leader. You'll hear from someone who is doing just that daily. Let's meet the friends. Coming to the conclusion that sometimes excellence is not newsworthy, it's Aaron Myers.
But being the worst at something is, I'll tell you what your state is the worst at, and let me tell you, they all do have their faults.
All right, putting wet blankets on tumble dry, Chris Martin is here.
Just when we thought we were making a nice dent in the California drought situation, NASA decides to come out and throw cold water on everybody's hopes.
Jay Campidonia has the day off. Let's get started, and hello. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. The sun was out for about 10 minutes. And then the clouds came back, and it started spitting on us once again. This is how December used to be. When I was a kid, December was like this every day. You know,
parts of
November and parts of January all the way into February.
My grandma tells me that regularly. She said, yeah, back in the day. I'm being serious now. Yeah. It's not an old person joke, okay. Although it does spin
it
into that.
It sounds that way.
Right. Yeah, she said it would rain through December and all the way up into February, and then you'd get like a little bit of Indian rain come right before summer.
Right. Now, before we get into your NASA conversation, Chris, because that's interesting stuff, we want to start with you, Aaron, because we know we're awesome here in California. Maybe not so awesome. What do you say?
Yeah, well, we have our good things and our bad things. And the thing that apparently California is the worst at, according to Yahoo Travel, is we have the most polluted cities. So
really,
we're a little dirty.
More than the old steel mine and coal mine
that
states.
Is what they say. L.A., but also Sacramento, San Francisco, up north. So we have dirty air here in California.
Are they talking polluted as well? The guys that pull up to the red light and throw their fast food bags onto
that,
the street?
Or they rev the Ferraris with the smog coming out the back too? No,
yeah.
it all adds up. All adds up. But some of the others were a little surprising. Like Colorado is known for the greatest cocaine use.
Which, it is?
Yeah, which I don't know why. They said, you know, you think Colorado is known for the white powder as snow, not the white powder cocaine.
Right, exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
And then Indiana, the most meth incidents. And then there's some that really don't have anything that bad. For example, Massachusetts, it's the worst at happy hour. They have to pay full price. So not every state is really struggling. Or
happy hour is full price? What's happy about it?
Nothing, apparently. People are not happy about it, but it's been in place for years there.
Maybe, well, that's not happy hour.
Well,
no,
maybe, you know what, Chris? I think, I don't know if you've been to Boston, the demand for an open stool in a pub is so high that probably they figure, hey, until the place starts emptying out, we're not dropping prices.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Supply and demand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. A lot of people drinking an ale or a brew or something there in Boston.
Probably. But, yeah. I mean, they definitely don't need to lure people in.
No, they don't. But, you know, the bus driver sometimes has to lure the kids onto the bus. And some of the kids are good. Some of the kids are bad. But strange behavior from this bus driver.
Yeah, I guess a bus driver in Kansas City, Missouri, they confiscated a blind child's walking stick.
Why would they do that?
Well, the bus driver says that the child was hitting another student with it. So instead of just, you know, taking it away and talking, giving it back, they are giving the child a pool noodle.
A pool noodle?
To hold instead, yeah. And they said that he had to keep the pool noodle for 2 weeks because he couldn't hurt other kids with that. But the family not very happy, obviously, about that.
Trying to confirm which kid that was in the seat.
You never know.
With the stick.
Right. And rather than touching his face to figure it out, he was just poking him.
And memorizing his shape with the stick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the pool noodle, by the way, you might not be able to hurt somebody with it, but you can whack somebody pretty hard with it.
I think the word is thwack.
Yeah. Thwack. I've had many pool noodle wars.
Yeah. I mean, that would actually be more fun to hit somebody with, because then it's like a fun game versus...
Right, well, you're not leaving a bruise.
Yeah. See, if I were one of the other kids, I'd say, I want a pool noodle.
Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
How come he gets one?
Yep, every kid should get a pool noodle
on the bus. Yeah, and then just let him go wild.
That'll be
see what the ride. bus driver started now.
Exactly. All Whoa. Right. Now you have a story that has me scratching my head figuratively here. This lady has a will that has some people up in arms.
Yeah, a woman in Indiana has a will. She recently died, and in her will, it said that she wanted her dog Bella, a German Shepherd, to be euthanized after she died, and then the dog's ashes were supposed to be mixed with hers so they could be buried together.
Was the dog consulted on this?
I don't think so, because apparently Bella is very healthy, and they say that, you know, she should just go get another home. Somebody else should be able to take care of her. But in Indiana, animals are seen as property, so people are a little up in arms. They're trying to save Bella right now, and I guess there was another stipulation in the will that said she could go to a specific rescue. So right now they're trying to find the money to transport the dog to that rescue, because otherwise they had already scheduled Bella to be euthanized, which
so she could be buried together with her owner.
Yes. Yeah. If the dog has many years of playing fetch, I think the dog should get to play fetch.
Yes. So. Why not? But in this case, German Shepherd gets to die.
Hopefully not. They're still fighting the good fight for her.
There you go.
Healthy pup.
All right. It's we alluded to the rain that we've been getting. Today it's just kind of a spit. But we've had a handful of healthy storms, 2, 3, 4 inches in some cases. And we've been in a serious drought in Southern California. Most of Northern California, I think the entire state, just drought stricken for 3 years. Way below our average. In downtown Los Angeles, 14 inches or so is the average for a rainy season during the course of a year. We've been averaging between, you know, 7 and 9 inches, more or less. So we're this year we were way below, and it was looking like if we didn't get a couple of storms, we were going to do 5 or 6 inches. And that's bad. It's bad for farmers. California is a farming state. You may not think about it if you're not from California, but huge in the Central Valley. And the farmers use something like 65% of the water in the state of California. And they're not getting any water now. So that makes prices go up. The drought is a bad thing for everybody, not just here in California. So if you're eating California fruits or vegetables, you should care about our drought. There, I've set it up. We've got a ton of rain. And NASA, Chris, has run the numbers on what the rain has done for our drought.
Yeah, and the numbers don't look good. But I do want to point out, you know, you were talking about our agriculture, and I think California is like the 9th largest agricultural outputter in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much fruit and produce and other goods that we put out from here. So it's in everybody's best interest that we get rain. But NASA doesn't seem to see that, or at least they're not leading us to believe that it's coming. But we have had several downpours this month already, which is signaling the possibility of a nice wet winter. We're all hoping for it. Hopefully it keeps coming. NASA sticks their head in, and because of all their great technology, they have decided that we would need 11 trillion more gallons of water to end the California drought.
That sounds like way more than we can get.
Mm-hmm. 11 trillion, that's somewhere close to the national debt in dollars. I think if we ran equivalencies, 11 trillion gallons of water is like 17 million Olympic-sized swimming pools full of water.
Yeah.
14,000 Dallas Cowboy stadiums full of water. Mm. It's the amount of water flowing over Niagara Falls after 170 straight days.
Wow.
Of water flowing over the falls. So, you know, NASA says, look, it took years to get into this severe of a drought. It will likely take many more years and many more major storms to get out of it. However, we did receive more rain this month than we have in years previous to this. And if it keeps up, we could receive enough water to really make a major dent in this drought.
Yeah, I wonder if we get a trillion gallons in one rainstorm, you know, because
it'd be a big rainstorm.
Yeah, I mean, there are some watersheds. There's one here, I forget where it is in Southern California, but they said during the last storm they collected enough water to provide water services to 35,000 homes for a year. That was just one watershed. So, you know, we obviously have more than 35,000 homes in Southern California, but just the same.
Just a few more.
Yeah, just a few more. And when you talk about $11 trillion and 11 trillion gallons of water necessary, how much of those bottles, gallon bottles of water they sell at the grocery store? They're like 99 cents, right, when they're on sale?
Mm-hmm.
So we can buy 11 trillion of those? Just pour them out on the front lawn?
Like,
and
our water problem's over.
Why buy them? Let's just make it California law that they have to give them out.
I'm being absurd, but the point is there is no drought. All the water is on the shelves in bottles. in the grocery stores.
We're just not using it properly.
And at the Costco's and
all
that.
It's a good point. And looking at it logically, because I was up the other night when it was raining, because it's hard to sleep when it's raining that hard. I mean, we got some really hard rain. And then you look at like the flood channels and stuff, and they are loaded. So, you know, I think we're doing pretty good.
What's an asthmer?
An asthmer? That's a good question, Phil. You know, an asthmer is an acronym for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. You want to know what that is?
Well, you're going to tell me.
Yeah, I am going to tell you. It's for people that have trouble relaxing or maybe even sleeping.
Yeah.
If you do have trouble with those things, like relaxing, maybe watching someone fold laundry would help, or maybe someone whispering poems to you. How about a Bob Ross show of him painting happy little trees and cleaning his brushes off in front of you?
These are asthmers.
There's people that watch this stuff, right? Like, they just, for whatever reason, a lot of times it's related to them sort of not getting enough attention when they were younger, and this makes them feel comfortable. Or if they got a lot of attention from their mothers and fathers when they were younger, this makes them feel very comfortable.
What are these, YouTube channels?
There's YouTube channels of them, and there's a lot of YouTube channels, and these channels have like hundreds of thousands of subscribers. People are watching hours of like just fire crackling or lip smacking from people eating.
Lip smacking. Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay, that doesn't seem relaxing to me at all.
Drawing on paper.
It's a whole laundry, category. Maybe.
I'm going to start one. I'm going to put on my bedroom voice, and I'm going to read the want ads from Craigslist.
Okay. Give us an example. Can you give us a little bit of your bedroom voice?
Right. How about this? Curb alert.
Uh-huh.
Free furniture. Yours. To pick up.
You did it.
I'd just do the kitties purring channel. I have plenty of them. Wow. To start that. Yeah.
Yeah. You might get carpal tunnel syndrome.
If I'm trying to sleep, I usually just watch Conan O'Brien try to be a late night show host.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, see, I put on those murder shows like on the ID network, which is a little creepy.
You know what? Up next, there are new developments with Sony Pictures deciding not to show the movie The Interview, the movie in which two journalists are sent to North Korea to assassinate the leader there, Kim Jong-un. And Paramount Pictures is getting into the game, and I wonder, is all of Hollywood run by cowards? We're going to talk about that next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're back, and thank you for tuning in. So here's the thing. Everybody, even in Washington now, they're talking about Sony's decision not to show the movie The Interview. Aaron, why don't you get us up to speed on what's happening here?
Okay, well, officially, the hack started on November 24th. That's all the emails, everything going on from Sony being released. Well, they did cancel the December 25th release of The Interview. That happened yesterday. They're not going to release it in any form at this point. And because of that, people are very upset, saying, you know, the terrorists, the cyber attackers, they're winning. But it has had, like, a big effect. For example, I guess New Regency has just pulled a plug on a Steve Carell movie that was going to be shooting based around him being in North Korea. So that has now been canceled. They were going to start shooting in March, and they're not going to do that as well.
Hmm. You know what? Well, John McCain, Senator John McCain, made some comments. He said the reaction to the cyber attacks is profoundly troubling. He says this sets a bad precedent. In essence, we're letting the bad guys win here.
Yes.
And there was a movie theater in Texas that was standing up to all of this. The Alamo Drafthouse Theater in Dallas-Fort Worth came up with a solution. to this business with Sony pulling the interview. They're replacing it with one free screening of Team America World Police, which features prominently Kim Jong-un's dad, Kim Jong-il, as a North Korean version of Cartman.
Well, see, they're even saying now that may not happen either because Paramount may not allow theaters to show that. They're scared, too. It's not official yet, but it is being reported in various places that
they're scared.
They might
see,
not.
That's the thing. Are they? They're scared? Come on.
Apparently.
President Obama said, you know, this was his message. And John McCain went after the president, said it was the White House policies that led to this ultimately. But the president came out and said, go see a movie. You know, that's what you can do. Don't be afraid of hacks or whatever. Just don't let this affect your life here in America. Go see a movie.
Well, now pretty much any time anybody doesn't like a film that's coming out, they can do this. And now one, you know, Sony's already said, well, we're not going to air it. So what are other places going to do?
Yeah. Well,
can I play a little devil's advocacy here?
Sure.
All right. First of all, North Korea is not a country known for common sense. So they perceive a movie like this as propaganda, as American propaganda to promote the assassination of their leader.
Sure.
Now, let's say North Korea goes off and they're the ones responsible for the hack. They're the guardians of peace. That's all conjecture at this point.
Yeah.
But they've obviously proven that they would follow through on their threats to release all this information that has caused all these problems. Then they make a threat that we will harm your citizens if they show up to these premieres. Don't you have to take that seriously?
Sure you do, but
you can't shrug that off.
We take a lot of things seriously, but we don't shut down the country when we get those. We just increase the presence of security, and we try to undermine whatever realistic plan there is. I mean, a lot of times it's just talk. I mean, historically, North Korea has been all talk. They launch, you know, missiles, test missiles that sputter into the ocean before they make it to Japan or wherever they're going. And maybe they have more sophisticated weapons now. Maybe they have sophisticated hackers. Maybe they're getting cooperation from China or from Russia or some other place. But still, you don't shut down your country.
It's a movie. It's a movie with two guys that are known for not being the brightest on camera, you know? They usually play roles of bumbling idiots at times. So yeah. No offense to them, but
no.
You know, it's
well, here's what I think.
Cheek.
I think it one of two things is happening. Either Hollywood is run by cowards, or this is the pinnacle, the most genius-like marketing campaign ever. Because when the day comes, and it will, when the day comes and this movie is released in one shape, form, or another, you will not be patriotic if you don't go to see it.
Mm-hmm. And they were saying this movie, I've heard that people were saying it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So this could be, like the way to make it actually earn money down the road.
Yeah. Only real Americans, patriotic Americans, will watch the interview when it comes out. Mm-hmm. You will show those hackers, those terrorists, those North Korean despots, and we'll watch a bad movie just because we're Americans. Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it is terrible, by the way.
Probably.
You know, you take something and you make it that much of, it's just this confederacy of dunces. These guys, like you said, they're just bumbling fools.
Yeah, yeah.
It ends up not being all that funny.
Right.
No.
Okay, enough about that. Chris, you have a story about a mom who's upset about the cops who were giving her son a pass.
Well, and maybe she's right. You guys are going to have to decide what your opinion is. But there's a New York mother who is suing the police for not arresting her son for a DUI. She says that the officers were friendly with her 29-year-old son because he owned a deli and he often let him eat there on the cheap, which, you know, who wouldn't do that, of course, take care of the local PD. Now, the lawsuit claims that officers drove the young man home rather than arrest him, even though he was severely intoxicated. Okay, so the cops pick him up. He's drunk, out of his mind. They say, all right, Junior, we're not going to arrest you. We're going to take you home. Well, later that night, he gets up, jumps in his mom's car, and gets into a car accident that cost him his life.
So he died.
Right.
Okay.
It was a fatal accident.
Yikes.
Now, officials haven't commented, the police officials haven't commented, but is it the officer's fault for driving him home? Because I was sort of raised on that's a good deed, and that's, you know, something that officers do to not ruin the young man's life. Had he not left that night, he would have paid tens of thousands of dollars in DUI fees and all of that.
It's possible the mother had that ethic as well until some attorney came to her and said, well, look, you know, had the police been doing their job and arrested your son? But I think when initially, what do you think? When initially that boy was brought home and not arrested, do you think the mom, okay, she was upset he was arrested, but she was glad he's not in jail and she didn't have to bail him out.
Right, and glad that he doesn't have to live with those, you know, several years of insurance hikes and all of that stuff you deal with once you receive a DUI.
Yeah. Wow. How about some Christmas news? You want some of that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We mentioned NASA a little while ago. Here's something nice they're doing for us. You could see Christmas lights from space. NASA studied satellite images to see which areas have the brightest lights this time of the year, and Florida is number one. But a lot of other cities and their suburbs are 50% brighter than normal this time of year because of Christmas lights.
Is Vegas on the list?
Vegas is always there. A company called Squarefoot decided to figure out how much storage space Santa would need to hold all his presents. He'd take up about 2% of the storage in the world, and it would cost about $1.5 billion a year. And even during Christmas vacation, when no work is going on anywhere, are you still not totally checked out? A study found that 57% of full-time employees will check in with work over their holiday break and even do work.
That's dedication right there.
I guess so. Hey, coming up, it's Hobbit time. Manny the Movie Guy joins us live to see if that latest installment from Middle Earth lives up to all the hype. Plus, he'll comment on Sony's decision not to show the interview. Did the hackers win? We think they did. That's coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here. Jay has the day off. Visit our website, philhewlettandfriends.com, and poke around a little bit. In fact, go to the section that says About, and you'll see a little drop-down that says Regular Contributors. And there's a smiling picture of Manny the Movie Guy, who joins us live right now. Hey, Manny.
It's slamming picture indeed. How are you, guys? How are you, Phil Hewlett and friends?
Oh, absolutely wonderful now that you're here. Let's see. We're going to talk about which flicks are worth the money, but when you have a distinguished senators and the president of the United States talking about a movie, you know, if and when Sony ever releases The Interview, it's going to be huge, I suppose, because it'll almost be patriotic to watch it. But just the same, I bet you have a comment about Sony and now Paramount pulling Team America from being played anywhere.
Oh, come on. No. We need Team America right now, you know?
Yes, we do. So this is, I posed the question, is Hollywood run by a bunch of cowards?
That's right. Well, you know, the embattled studio, Sony, will definitely, definitely, definitely not release the Seth Rogen, James Franco comedy. And also, you've probably heard rumors about releasing The Interview on demand. Cancel that as well. It will not be released. But we'll see. I mean, you know, we're still, it's capitalism after all.
Yeah.
Maybe when the dust dies, settles, we'll be able to see The Interview finally. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
The Interview is not that great of a film. It's not a good comedy. I mean, you know, it's hit or miss, mostly misses.
Uh-huh.
The best part is really seeing Kim Jong-un's head explodes. But you can see that anywhere now. It's they've uploaded that version.
Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, it should not be canceled. You know, not only is Paramount doing Team America or canceling Team America, most films that involve North Korea or anything to do with North Korea have all been canceled. One of them is a movie called Pyongyang from Pirates of the Caribbean's Gore Verbinski. Steve Carell was attached to star in that movie based on the graphic novel by Guy Delisle. It tells about his travels in North Korea, made possible by a work visa obtained by his gig working at a children's cartoon show, but it's canceled. And Verbinski had shown disappointment. And Carell had tweeted this morning, sad day for creative expression.
Yeah.
He said, hashtag fear eats the soul. And I could not agree more.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, you know, when Charlie Chaplin did A Dictator, and, you know, it was all about Hitler. It was during the height of World War II.
Yeah, remember all the cyber attacks?
Right, exactly. It's all about the cyber, let me tell you. That's the interwebs.
Yeah, I know. Right. Hey, okay, let's talk about the Hobbit movie, The Battle of the Five Armies. I enjoy these. They're fun, but I wonder if they're stretching the story out too far. What do you say?
You know, you're right. I mean, because The Hobbit is a small book, unlike Lord of the Rings, where really it deserves to be told in 9 full hours of glorious spectacle. But The Hobbit is a small book, and Peter Jackson has been, and I agree, has been overstretching the whole series. But let me tell you, though, this final battle, the title says it all. This one's all about the battle. And director Jackson devoted nearly half of the film's running time to give us a rousing battle royale. If you think that all the other Hobbit movies, 1 and 2, are overdrawn bore, you will be surprised with this final film. The pace is faster, the movie is shorter, and the spectacle is bigger.
Yeah, love it. Okay. I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Annie got a makeover.
Yeah, but you know what? Really,
that's what I said too.
Really? Yeah. Are you impressed that Annie got a makeover? Seriously, Annie is the little girl with curly hair and wearing that red outfit, and it's all about the good old American, feel-good stuff. This one, I love Covenant A. Wallace.
Me too. I mean, The Beast of the Southern Wild is one of my favorite movies.
Oscar-nominated child actress, you know? And she's delightful in the role, but I wish I could say the same thing for the movie. I mean, first of all, contrary to its marketing and publicity, this new version of Annie is not an all-out musical, but an incidental show and dance number that shortens the songs we know and love from the hit Broadway show.
Yeah.
You know, and everything is contemporized in this version. Jamie Foxx is not Daddy Warbucks, but Will Stacks, a billionaire politician who made money selling cell phones because, you know, it's upgraded.
Yeah.
It's modernized.
Sure.
And Cameron Diaz is Miss Hannigan. She's a former member of CNC Music Factory.
Oh.
Enough said. You know what I mean? And the humor is pretty much like that. It, again, just like The Interview, it's hit or miss, mostly miss. And this is the sad part about it, though, is Annie is from Sony Pictures, and they're probably banking on this movie to be great, and people will love it, and the Academy, and hopefully it'll be nominated, and all that beautiful stuff. I don't think it will be. Mm. I think people will like it. Young kids will probably enjoy it, but adults will be bored by it. It gets 2 hard knock kisses from me, by the way.
Ah, hard knock. I like that. Hey, you know what America misses, or you know who America misses? It's Robin Williams, but we can see him again this weekend, right?
Correct. And just like what I told you about Annie, that Covenant A. Wallace is the only reason to watch it, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, Robin Williams is really the only reason to watch this. The first movie is still the most fantastic film of the series.
85th most highest domestic box office ever. 85th, $251 million or so.
Yeah, I mean, people enjoy it. And I think this will make money as well just because of the simple fact that Robin Williams is in it. I mean, I love him. You know, everyone loves him. And he was good in this movie. He was underused, just like the first and the second.
Well, there are only so many Teddy Roosevelt jokes you can do, right?
You know, exactly. And so it has its moments, but it's not it's not fantastic. It also gets 2 kisses from me, sorry.
Wow. All right, you're looking
for... My pick of the week is really The Hobbit.
Of course, okay. Who are you looking forward to, or what movies are you looking forward to over the Christmas holiday?
Over the Christmas holidays, well, you know what, Mr. Phil, honestly, and I hate to brag, but I've seen all of them already.
Oh, well, look at you.
So here's what I'm looking forward to, is to share with you my top 10 best movies of the year, and we can talk about that soon.
Oh, well, see, we're not going to talk about it next week because we're not doing a show.
I know. There's all the films, but do you want me to tell you my favorite movie ever?
Oh.
I'm willing to reveal it now.
Well, you know what? Let me pull out a little thing here. I have a list because I know what America's favorite movie of all time is, and I don't know if it matches with yours. So who should go first? America or you?
America.
America picks all time. This was a survey by the Harris Poll. 2,200 adults, and they found that Gone with the Wind is still America's favorite movie.
Right. Oh, well, I agree, but it's still Citizen Kane as far as the movie, best movie of ever.
That's your call.
It's my Citizen Kane. I still love it. It's my feel good. I know it's weird to say that, but I do feel good watching it when I'm feeling down.
I like that movie. It's not in the top 10 on this Harris poll, by the way.
Well, what does America know?
Well, I'll tell you. Here's 10. bottom to top. E.T., It's a Wonderful Life, Wizard of Oz, Dirty Dancing, The Sound of Music, Lord of the Rings, The Godfather, Titanic, Star Wars, and Gone with the Wind. They're all good movies.
There were no other films made during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. They forgot all of that.
Yeah, that's right. Where's Duel?
Right, exactly. But I'm going to reveal to you my favorite movie of the year, and that is Boyhood. I love this back last summer, and to this, I mean, after watching so many other films from summer to now, it's still my number one film, and I can guarantee you that I think Boyhood will win Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't even know the nominations.
But we're going to make a note. Boyhood. I have not even seen that.
Oh, you have time. It's now out on VOD and DVD and Blu-ray.
All right. Thanks for that, Manny, the movie guy. And we'll watch you whenever we're in Palm Springs on KMIR-TV. And go to your beautiful website, MannyTheMovieGuy.com.
Thank you so much. And I just want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a super, super prosperous 2015. We'll all be rich next year.
Thank you. we'll talk to you soon. Manny, the movie guy.
See you next year.
All right. Bye-bye. There he goes.
I like his well wishes. He wished us all to be rich next year.
Fingers crossed.
Why not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're working on that. You know, it's a lot of money just floating out there. Why not go out and grab it? So your kid is playing organized sports. How do you take that experience and turn your child into a leader? We learn how to do that together next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Here we go. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Jay has the day off. Aaron and Chris are here. And long before the recent NFL scandals, there was an effort made, and it continues today, the late coach and founder of something called the Hope Foundation for a Better Tomorrow, Frank DeCoco is his name. He set out to help transform the student athletes he worked with into real men and future leaders, which is an important thing. You're on a sports team, and if the coach is doing it right, you can build a lot of character with those players on the team. You learn about teamwork. You learn how to lose with dignity. You learn how to win without putting it into the face of your opponents. And some valuable lessons that you learn there. But in many cases, those lessons are just left on the playing field. You go home and you're the same kid that you were before you started practicing the game. But in this case, these kids can be transformed. We want to learn more about this and how it works with Frank's mother, Kathy. She joins us live now. Hi, Kathy. I know it's only been 9 months, and I apologize if this is still difficult for you. I imagine it is, but could you tell us about Frank? He was a very young man when he passed, right?
Yes, he passed away a year and a half ago at the age of 29, and he was a football coach for several years. So just as you were just saying, there are coaches out there who just care about winning, but there are a lot of coaches out there who care to teach their young players about living a better life and being successful in life. And that's what Frank saw, that there was a need for that.
Using Frank's model, how do you transform young boys into real men? And what's your definition of a real man?
Okay, well, Frank entitled this character educational program Real Man Program. R stands for respect all people. E is especially women. A is always do the right thing. And L, live a life that matters. And so it was very important for him to teach his young players how to respect people, how to always do what's right and to make the right decision, to be responsible, to have the character traits that he wrote about. And so the Real Man Program is for all youngsters, boys and girls, athletes and non-athletes. But the playing field and the team concept give the coaches just a venue for teaching them about character.
Yeah, and those ideals, sometimes they're not reinforced in the many parts of the inner city when you have these at-risk kids who perhaps don't have a father figure at home or have some other influence, gang influence in their neighborhood. And so it's difficult to reinforce the REAL model there because these are messages that are not being talked about.
You're right. Many of these young boys have no fathers. The single moms are working. The children are either in gangs, like you said, or don't have good friends. Their peers are big influences. Like you opened with, the professional athletes, there have been so many on the news lately where they have a lack of character. And so they really need, young people really need to be taught how to have responsibility and how to have respect. And the coaches and the teachers in their lives have an awesome responsibility to teach young people, boys and girls both, how to live a life that matters.
Yeah. And so I imagine there are a bunch of success stories. Can you give us one example of a particular success story that stands out for you?
Yes, I could. There are so many. I was present one night when Frank got a call from a dad who said, my son is, he's being influenced by a young girl that he's dating. She wants him to quit college, come home. And so the father, you know, called my son and said, can you please teach him? Can you please, you know, tell him how to be respectful and how to be responsible and to finish what he started, you know, in his education. And so the young man did go on, and with Frank's influence and his educating the young boy, he did go on to graduate from college. I heard another story yesterday from an eighth grader who was being taught the Real Man Program by his football coach, where they're on the school bus, and this girl is bullying him, hitting him, and he stood up and he said, no, I'm not going to hit back because I've been taught to respect especially young women. And so his coach gave him the praise in front of all the team that he did the right thing, and he respected that young woman and wouldn't hit back,
He
was faced with being bullying. So, there are more and more stories. There are moms who have gone up to coaches and said to them, can you please teach my son how to be a real man, which means to be responsible, to get a job, to get an education, to do what's right, to help people.
Isn't the NFL involved with the program?
They are not at this point. I would say around 2011 and 12, my son wrote the youth impact program for the NFL at one of the team's requests, and I know it was taught for those couple of years. I really don't know if it is currently taught, and we are in the process of trying to contact the NFL and the NFL Foundation to try and make sure that their teaching of this program continues.
Yeah, well, I hope it does. And how can people find out more about the Hope Foundation for a Better Tomorrow?
Okay, well, the Hope Foundation has a website. It's hopefoundation.us. And people can go on that website and see all of the books that are in the Real Man Character Development Program. We have also given out 9 scholarships in the last year and a half. We have 2 more scheduled to give next month. So we are giving scholarships to schools who are teaching the Real Man program. And also, a school can contact us. My cell phone number is on that website, hopefoundation.us. We have donated 10,000 books across the country in the last 2 years.
Oh, so there are no geographic restrictions?
No geographic restrictions. I have coaches in Hawaii and California and Arkansas and Texas, Georgia teaching this program. You know, so there certainly are no geographical restrictions. This is all ages. It is being taught in middle schools, high schools, colleges. You'll see on our website there are some NCAA Division I colleges that are teaching this program. So there's no age limit, no geographical limit. It's for all students, whether you're an athlete or not. You need to be taught character and how to do the right thing.
And I'm told, and yes, there it is, we have a link to your Hope Foundation website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com in case people don't remember the exact, you know, the U.S. could throw somebody off.
Right. That's great.
Yeah,
thank
so you. There's a link there. And thank you very much for the work that you're doing and carrying on the tradition and legacy of your son, who sadly did not go on to continue this work. But he's, I'm sure, looking smiling down on you as you continue the good work of the Hope Foundation.
Thank you. And you can all who are listening could help us to continue his work by adopting this program for your child, for your child's school, their teachers, their coaches, and please contact us, and we will be happy to work with you and get you the books you need.
There you go. Very good. Thank you, Kathy DeCoco, for spending some time with us and telling us about this program. It's a worthwhile thing, and hopefully we're all better for it. Thank you again, and happy holidays to you. All right. There we go. Good stuff, right?
Very good stuff.
Yeah, I was looking at the website right now. So
are you? All right. Good. Good.
That's what sports is great for, too. You know, it also teaches you almost how to prepare for a job in the future. I know school's supposed to teach you that also, but, you know, if you're going to play for a coach, they're going to tell you you got to be here on time or you got to be early. You got to put in the work ethic. You got to practice all those things.
See, that's good. That's why we have people like Kathy on the program to teach us things like that, because this program is good for being taught other things like how to survive your office holiday party. These are the types of things we teach you.
Hey, that can be important, too.
Yeah. Like, number one, don't skip it. Unless you're leaving town or you have a good excuse, skipping the party makes it seem like you don't care about the company or your coworkers. Just 30 minutes is fine, just so you put your face in there. Remember that harassment policies still apply at the party. If you hit on a coworker or say something inappropriate, you could still end up with a sexual harassment
policy. Wait, even if it's not at the office? What if it's in a different location?
No, if it's an office party, off-site, it still applies. Eat something before you go. If there's food, it's probably just small stuff, and chances are you'll be drinking, and that might come back up. Use the party to network, but not too much. Don't be too obvious about it. And don't be the last one to leave. In other words, the one who shuts the door, shuts down the bar. If you do, you'll end up drinking too much, and you'll need a cab to get home.
Can I show off my incredible rendition of the Dougie and the Sprinkler?
Yes, please. Okay. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There's more coming up, including our tech guy who says hackers are reading your texts. That's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, super fast delivery is coming your way, courtesy of one of the, well, it is the biggest online retailer. And we have an update on that guy who was looking for a woman with the same name as his ex-wife. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, Jay Capadonia has the day off. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for tuning in. That rustling in the background is musical chairs right now.
It's a little weird, right? To look for somebody with the same exact name as your ex.
It's creepy.
It is.
It's especially creepy when you take a look at the guy's picture. We don't have it for you, but he's easy to find if you want to look for it. And Aaron, you've been following the story. We're going to do it in a minute, but there's one story that trumps it. And anytime we have stories about monkeys, they go right to the front of the line. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and usually you say, aw. And in this one, you're more likely going to say, aw, poor monkey, ouch. Like
yeah,
fried
ouch.
Monkey a little bit.
Fried monkey?
Fried monkey. This monkey in France apparently has been on the loose for a few weeks, and people have been reporting, seeing it. It's actually scratched some kids and gone into an elementary school, things like that. Well, they think it's been a little crazy because they think it's been getting abused by the kids, and it's only been eating chocolate.
Uh-oh.
So it's a little malnourished. Well, finally this week, they got a call, and the police came, and they tased the monkey.
They tased
they
the monkey?
They tased it. Yes, the monkey is okay, though, but they did tase the monkey.
Where's that Peter Gabriel song? Was it called Tase the Monkey?
Really?
No, it was Shock the Monkey,
okay.
Right?
Okay. Well, close. Very similar.
Yeah.
Good thing monkey not seriously injured, and after a little quarantine, it's going to get put in a zoo. So,
is it on video, the tasing of the monkey?
Of course, you want to watch that, don't you?
I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, see, if they put the monkey in the zoo, will they continuously tase the monkey for the delight of the zoo goers?
No, I hope not.
No.
Poor little monkey. There's a picture of it, and it looks like it's sleeping, but you feel bad hearing that this little teeny monkey got tased.
It's not sleeping. It's pining for the fjords.
It's cute.
It's what he gets for getting out of hand.
Cryptic parrot
reference.
Hey,
they say his owner probably let it go, so it's not the monkey's fault.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's find out about the guy, the creepy guy. Is he creepy?
I don't know.
Do you find him creepy?
He looks a little scary, like he could have, you know, hacked somebody up and put them in the forest somewhere.
His ex-wife is not dead, is she?
No, it's an ex-girlfriend, and they just broke up.
Oh, girlfriend?
It's a girlfriend, yes. And they broke up, and they were supposed to be going on this trip. Well, a while ago, about a month or so, he said, if I can find somebody with the same name as my ex-girlfriend, you can go on this trip for free.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. So he finally did, and the girl's name was the same as his ex, Elizabeth Gallagher, and she's 23 years old. She's a student and a part-time office administrator.
How did he do? Is she a hotter version than
She's pretty. You can tell why he picked her, for sure. Yeah,
oh.
She's very pretty. And yes, I do see this photo you're talking about, though. He looks very serious and like you might want to run the other direction.
Yeah.
Like he's cute, but there's something in the eyes that are a little scary.
So check the freezer if you go to the apartment, right? Just open it up when he's not
looking.
Maybe,
but they leave soon.
Is that a loophole in the airline system? That I didn't realize until now, that if you have this, as long as you have the same name, you don't even have to share the same birth date or anything, you can use that ticket?
Apparently, at least in this case, yeah. So they're leaving on December 21st for this long trip. And the girl, I guess the value is up to like $7,000. So this girl's getting a free $7,000 trip.
Yeah. And maybe there will be a love connection.
Or hopefully she'll come back alive.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it's luxury, so it's not like they're in sleeping bags. But you have a story that relates to that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Pope Francis had his 78th birthday, and for his birthday, he gave out to homeless people sleeping bags. And I guess they gave out about 400, and that's just another thing that they're doing to help the homeless population in Rome.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
They 400 sleeping bags.
400 sleeping bags, yes. And, you know, colder time of year, and right for his birthday.
Yeah.
Handed them out throughout the city.
By far the most popular pope we've ever had, right? That guy constantly
I don't know about
ever.
News. Pope John,
Benedict?
No, Pope John Paul was pretty
popular.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. He was very beloved.
People did like him a lot.
Yeah.
He does a lot to get in the media, though, you know.
Giving away sleeping
Francis
bags.
Francis does, yeah. Sleeping bags, telling us our dogs are going to go to heaven.
They do.
You know?
Dogs go to heaven.
I liked when he released the dove and it was attacked by a hawk.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I remember that story.
Yeah.
How did I miss that
one? No, that was awesome because they got that on video.
Jeez.
Was it a hawk or was it crows? It was attacked by something. I think it was a hawk.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just saw a GIF on the on a loop where these two people had just gotten married and they're leaving the church, you know, front doors, and then the best men are all releasing doves, and there's four of them, and three of them throw up their doves, and they fly off, and the fourth one throws the dove up, and it just falls back to the ground because it can't fly.
Oh, no.
That's the broken wing dove.
Yeah.
Oh.
There, again, be careful with your extra stuff at your weddings and your proposals and all of that.
No all animals right. were hurt in this proposal.
I hope not. All right, so Chris, over to you now. And we haven't had a Michael Vick update in a while, but he's proving that a rather awful guy could be a stand-up guy eventually.
Right. He is. He's working hard. He's continuing to work hard, I should say, to make up for his past mistakes, because he's been doing it for a while. You know, here's something interesting, by the way. You know, he has been in the league now for NFL. As many years in the NFL as a quarterback for as many years after prison as he was before prison. So he's been out of prison and in the NFL for 6 years.
And remind us again
now.
Why he went to prison.
He went to prison for violently endangering the lives of many pit bulls, in some cases participating in their death in this like pit bull fighting ring.
Yeah, okay.
That he was involved with wagering involved and all of that.
Right.
Well, all right. So he's been out of the league, or excuse me, out of jail and back in the NFL for 6 years now. And he chose to structure a payback system for the $18 million approximately that he owed to the Falcons and his creditors because, you know, when he went to jail, there was a clause in his contract that says if you go to jail for certain things, we don't owe you all the money. So he owed them like $7 million, plus he owed some creditors some money for all the legal fees.
Yep.
Rather than filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, Vick went with Chapter 11, which I guess is a payment plan to make sure that he could pay everybody back. And now he is on the verge of paying back all of the $18 million that he owed everybody when he could have taken a much discounted rate by filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
So is he leading the life of a pauper then? I mean, is he just, you know, in a standard suburban home somewhere?
Well, let's analyze it. For the last 6 years, Michael Vick has supposedly been on a $300,000 a year budget.
Hmm.
So he has made plenty of money, by the way. He's made something like $40+ million since being out, but he's forced himself to live on $300,000, which after taxes is certainly not living the life of Riley.
It's $170,000 after taxes,
right?
Something like that, yeah.
And using the rest of the money to pay back his creditors, and also probably try to save something for retirement because I don't know how much longer he's got. He does say that he feels blessed for everyone who has given him the opportunity to atone for his past.
Curious if he probably still does qualify for his NFL pension.
I would imagine. I mean, that's 12 years in the league.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can take that away. He does still want to play, by the way. He wants to play for the Redskins next year. So that would be his dream, which would mean he'd have to give RG3 the boot or at least train him while
he's mid-season, talking about who you'd rather play for. That can't be great for the team you're already employed by.
Yeah, well, he's on the Jets, so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
that explains it.
That does explain a lot. Okay. And right now, the technology to make lives better is science fiction coming to life. I mean, it really is. Tell us about this story with the bionics that are going on there, Chris.
This story comes out of Colorado, Phil, and a Colorado man, actually 40 years after losing both of his arms in a freak electrical accident, has now just received two bionic arms that he can control with his mind. So this guy, Leslie Baugh, he's in the experimental phase of this new technology. He's literally lost both his arms from the shoulders down.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Do they look like human arms? Or
no, they look like bionic arms. They look like something out of Terminator almost. You know?
Oh,
but
so
they're
colored
black.
You can see all the metal and the wires and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, the wires are pretty well concealed. It just looks like almost like a tent you would erect, one of those easy ups. It's like the posts from one of those.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Like little square posts. And after just 10 days of training, he can already move objects from shelf to shelf, like cups and balls and stuff like that.
Oh.
So, yeah. Now,
I need that because I'm dropping coffee mugs all the time.
Right. Well, we just have to lop off one of your arms, and then you're
just
a candidate for the procedure.
Would that be good for the show?
Start of the new year?
Probably.
I think there we go. That's
but
how we'll
get
lead
some
it off.
Hits.
Yeah.
Now, he had to rebuild. Here's the crazy part. They had him over at Johns Hopkins. He had to rebuild his neural connections by practicing thinking about the movement of his arms. And so now at this phase, everything moves independent. So, like, if he wants to pick up a cup, it's like move your shoulder, then your elbow, then your wrist, then your hand, you know. But you got to figure the technology 40 years from now or less.
It'll just keep getting better and better to where it's one smooth move.
Yeah, there'll just be bionic people.
How about
people.
That? That is spectacular. Sure. You want to know what one of the most thankless jobs is on the planet? It's the PTA member or the student or the teacher, whoever it is, that has to get that long stick with the suction cup on it and pull the letters one by one off of the marquee out in front of the school and then put the right ones up there and put the message of the week. You know, parent-teacher meeting Friday, 7 p.m., and use the letters that are available and get it right. I mean, God bless the schools that had the money to come up with these electronic marquees, but they're still the old-fashioned ones are still there, and it's up to somebody to get it right. Isn't that correct, Chris?
It is. Somebody has to double-check it. And in New Jersey, somebody didn't do that, and now the principal's being canned.
Wow.
The principal?
But yeah. Is it something so bad that they deserve worth being canned for?
What happened?
Yeah, what does it say?
All right, let's see what you guys think. So there's a marquee sign in the front of this school in New Jersey, and it had at least three major misspellings. Let me see if I can describe this over the radio for you.
Yeah.
So the sign was meant to say December 2014. December spelled D-I-C-E-M-B-E-R.
Oh, man.
On the 18th, so 18th, progress report. Report R-E-E-P-O-R.
Oh, no. Repower.
On the 23rd, dismissal. But 23rd and dismissal do not have a gap. So this is the only spot on the sign where the number doesn't separate from the wording.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's at 1 p.m. from the 24th to the 31st. And then the 31st, the number 1 is actually placed on there backwards.
My goodness.
The school will be closed. Now, it's one thing. Look, mistakes happen. You know, you're going to put signs up incorrectly sometimes. Obviously, the custodial staff put it up. But the sign was up for over a week. That's what ended up causing problems.
Interesting.
Parents got a hold of it. Thing went viral. They were tweeting and Facebooking things like, look, how can we expect our children to learn how to spell when the administration can't even spell?
Yeah,
the education system.
If only we could see what they're writing on the chalkboards. Oh, they don't have those anymore. Dry erase boards, right?
Principal not canned, by the way, actually reassigned as vice principal at another school. And apparently she was already under review for some
final
things
straw
that she had been doing in the past.
Okay.
Right.
Come on. Learn how to spell before you become a teacher.
I'd be the
please.
One who wanted to put things up there on purpose.
Yeah. How about that? Hey, coming up next, do you watch a lot of movies? Do you go to the theater a lot? Well, there's an all-you-can-eat plan coming from one of the majors that you need to hear about, and Aaron has that story for you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. And you know who Ralphie is, right? From A Christmas Story?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who Ralphie is.
Is that the one that Santa says, you're going to shoot your eye out with that kid?
That's right. Oh, exactly. Okay. That's Ralphie.
I do know.
He was an executive producer on Iron Man. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's cool.
That executive producer means he's got some bucks, usually. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Don't the producer people are the guys with the money?
Usually, yeah. They're the funders of things, I think.
Executive producer. So
that's a big guy.
Yeah. Cash dude.
Teaches you not to give up on your dreams, even though Hollywood says you can't be an actor anymore. You know, he just kept pursuing it.
True.
Just from a different angle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Other avenues.
And Hollywood is thinking of different ways to compete with companies like Netflix. And Aaron, what is AMC doing?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. AMC Theaters and MoviePass, they're teaming up to do a subscription service where you can do a movie a day. Now, it's going to cost about $35, but you can go see a movie
per
on
month?
A big screen.
Yeah, 35
per
bucks
month,
a month.
35 a month, and then and then you can go see a movie on the big screen and have that real movie experience. And, you know, that's 30 movies a month that you can go see in a theater.
Does that include popcorn?
Doesn't include popcorn, and there are a couple catches. You can only see a movie once.
No.
So you can't go back and keep seeing the same movie over and over again if you really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be limited to, you know, first come, first serve, and there will only be a limited amount of users. So if you really like the idea, jump on it on January 5th.
Yeah, you know what? That's good for people who go and see two or three movies every weekend. And I know people like that.
It's genius.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't thought of it sooner, but it makes sense that now that they have to compete with companies like Netflix, that they'd come up with an idea like this.
Yeah. Now, are there different prices? Because there are some, you know, you can buy a $10 ticket in some places, and in other places, like here in Los Angeles, we have the Arclight theaters. Arclight. It's difficult
the
for me to say.
The fancy movie theaters.
Yeah, you could spend like $22, $23 on a movie ticket.
Yeah. Well, there are different prices. There is a $45 a month one, but that's for seeing IMAX or 3D, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So $35 to $45 a month, and you can see a movie a day.
3D.
Have you guys ever stayed in a movie theater after watching a movie to go catch another one or two or three?
Not that many, but at least one or two.
You have not? You said that so sincerely.
I have sincerely not done that.
Well, you have not lived.
The last time I stayed in the theater to watch another movie, it was a double feature. And they don't have those really anymore.
Have you ever hid in the trunk of a car to get into a drive-in movie?
No, but I've driven with somebody in the trunk of my car to get into a drive-in movie.
Did you slam on the brakes to mess with them?
No, but I went over the speed bumps quickly.
So mean.
And if you recall, if you are a student of Phil Hewlett and Friends, you know that I drove a 1963 Corvair. The trunk is in the front of the car.
Oh, yeah. That's a cool place.
So that's a better bounce when you hit the speed bump.
Yeah, and it's easy once you get inside the drive-in. You just pop the hood open and bam, you're staring at the movie screen.
Oh, you don't even have to get out.
Or not. Yeah. Or not open it.
All right, you just lock them in.
Yeah. Oh, this is what you're missing out on right now.
Or
Sorry.
You drive around for a while with your friends, and they don't know somebody's in there, and then you know you put your buddy in the trunk and tell your buddy to say, "Let me out!" Said, and then you look at the other buddy in the car and say, "You're next."
Oh no, that is good fun right there.
Do you know this Canadian guy going on the trip? Because I think you guys would be buddies now after that.
Oh yeah,
you're all right, next.
There you go. Hey, the White House has announced major changes to its policy toward Cuba. This happened yesterday. And it's the biggest move toward easing our sanctions on Cuba in 50 years. And here are the five things you need to know. It's still technically illegal to visit Cuba just for tourism, but now there are 12 reasons you can legally travel there. Visiting family, government business, journalism. Hey, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely. Professional research and meetings, and educational activities. Also, religious activities, humanitarian work, private foundation work, import-export work. Well, you could fire up one of those companies in a day or two, right? Art and athletic performances, clinics and workshops, and, quote, support for the Cuban people. Now, that's a vagary right there. What could that mean?
You're just going over there to show your support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think tourism is showing your support then, so that should count.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I just love me a good Cuban banana.
Well, how about a Cuban cigar?
Are good too. Yeah,
because now you are legally allowed to bring back $400 worth of stuff, including $100 worth of Cuban cigars or Cuban rum.
So is that going to take the mystique away from them, though, now that
people were
so excited about Cuban cigars now?
Yeah, there's always the guy in the booth, you know, at the fundraiser at the golf course with, you know, hey, Cuban cigars. How in the world do you have Cuban cigars? I always wonder about that, but then I ultimately end up getting one.
What if you want a hard-throwing relief pitcher? Can we go get one of those?
Yeah, I bet you could. That's supporting the Cuban people.
Uh-huh.
And for the first time, U.S. credit cards will work in Cuba.
Okay.
I don't know what they'll work with, but they'll work.
This is a big deal, right?
Oh, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's more. You could send $2,000 every 3 months to family members in Cuba. That's up from $500. And the U.S. finally will open an embassy in Cuba. And that's the first time we've done that since 1961, since the Bay of Pigs incident, if you studied your history.
You'd have to figure that things aren't going to change too dramatically over there until maybe like Castro's regime comes to an end. But, you know, over time.
Yeah. I've got one more story here for you that I think you'll enjoy. A guy in a small town in Minnesota, because they only have a couple of big towns in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Duluth. Is that one of them?
I think so. Minneapolis.
Yeah, St. Paul, Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and Duluth. And then after that, you're on your own, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Small town in Minnesota. He called the cops last week to report a crime. And the police blotter says, quote, he believes someone came into his house and changed the settings on his PlayStation 4. There's no word on how the cops handled it, but we're thinking they did not launch a manhunt.
Probably
sounds
not.
Like cyber terrorism to me.
Yeah.
And they didn't arrest him. Sometimes I feel like people get arrested for making those kind of calls themselves.
Yeah. Right. Although, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. How about that 911 call?
Is it a crime? We don't know. Hey, you know what is a crime? The hackers are out there, and they're doing all sorts of things now. In fact, apparently, they have the ability to read your texts. And how about this for creepiness? Listen in on your cell phone calls. We're going to find out how they're doing it and how often they're doing it when we talk to our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we spent the entire break freaking out, looking back at our text messages and seeing, all right, what have we texted to whom? And who else besides the intended recipient has been reading that? It's just freaky to think about what the hackers can do these days, and it all makes sense. It's just code. It's just math. Once they figure out how to break the code, they can get into just about anything they want to. We keep putting up bigger walls. They keep climbing up, getting bigger ladders.
I was reading something that said that the guys that are, you know, backdooring the hackers and trying to figure out how they got in have said that the system that they used to get into Sony would have worked on 90% of corporations.
Wow.
That's not good.
Well, let's confirm whether that's true because our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, is here. And Jeremy, it's just the hackers are just having their day, aren't they?
Oh, they absolutely are. And we're not talking just run-of-the-mill hackers. These are, you know, state-sponsored groups. So they've got, you know, lots of resources that are getting tossed at this. And, you know, if you apply enough resources to a problem for, a long enough time, you're going to, you know, find a way around it. So you're absolutely right. Any of the companies that are out there, you know, except for the most security-conscious ones, would most likely have fallen to these attacks. And so...
But what do they want with our texts and our telephone calls? I mean, we're just average people, but I imagine, okay, it makes sense. You get some highfalutin government guy or somebody that holds some secrets, you can tune in. And
or Jennifer Lawrence.
Sure, you get to spy on them, right?
Right. Well, listen to this. The ACLU says, basically, don't use your phone as a phone.
Wow.
One of their representatives says, don't use the telephone service provided by the phone company for voice. The voice channel that they offer is simply not secure. So this comes down to kind of an old antiquated system. It was designed in the 80s. It's called Signaling System 7. And essentially what it does is it allows different telcos to be able to interconnect and communicate with each other. So as you're driving down the highway, your calls are being handed off from one tower to another and so forth. When you're roaming, you're connecting to other people's networks. And some German security researchers have discovered that there are some underlying problems in that, you know, system, SS7 system, that allow pretty much anyone with the tools to be able to intercept calls, listen to voice calls, grab text messages, grab a whole bunch of encrypted calls, and then decrypt them later. So not good stuff. Certainly want to look for other alternatives. There's lots of ways to communicate besides actually using your phone as a phone.
You mean like speaking to people face-to-face?
Yeah, actually face-to-face. That's a good option.
Sending letters?
Yes, that's also a good one, although I think those are susceptible as well. But making phone calls via iMessage, for example, you can use FaceTime audio as a way to communicate with iPhone users. That's an encrypted end-to-end system.
Oh, it's so secure, okay.
You don't have to worry about your calls being intercepted at this point, at least. iMessage is also encrypted end-to-end for text messages, so you can be assured that those are private. But there's also other tools that are out there that allow secure communications, and there's even companies that are actually releasing products that are specifically to address this, where the whole phone is designed to be encrypted and not interceptable.
How about that? That is something. Of course, we could use homing pigeons, but in this case, use technology. Get a drone and put a little message on that and send it to your girlfriend's house and creep her out.
That's also a great option.
Yeah, there you go. All right. You know, a company that's been using drones is Amazon, but tell us about, they've got what, super fast delivery now? What is that?
Yeah, it's as if we didn't need more instant gratification in this world. They are rolling out a new service in Manhattan. They're planning on launching it in different cities as they continue to grow this. It's called Amazon Now. And essentially what they will do is if you pick from one of 25,000 products that they've got specially stocked for this delivery service called Amazon Now, you can get it in 1 hour.
Are we talking about groceries or
all kinds of stuff?
Big screen TVs?
There's a whole variety. There's a pretty large selection of stuff. So you can get a large amount of stuff. They are delivered via bicycle messenger. So I think that there's probably some sort of limitation on how much they can actually carry. I can't imagine you see a courier going down the streets of Manhattan with a big screen TV on their back.
Right.
But commonly needed things that you want to get delivered quickly, they can do so. But I think that the real cool part about this is actually if you're willing to wait 2 hours, and if you're willing to wait an hour, can't you wait an extra hour?
Yeah,
delivery is free. So you can skip the $8 delivery fee if you can wait 2 hours.
Look out, FedEx.
Right.
Free 2-hour delivery. I like that.
Unbelievable.
It sure is. Okay. Well, from that, we go to Apple. And Apple is doing something because of what's happening in Russia. Bring us up to speed.
Well, as we've all been hearing, there is a lot of volatility going on in Russia. The sanctions and so forth are having an effect. The oil prices dropping are having a huge effect on the Russian economy. And the currency is obviously dropping in value as a result. Last month, Apple decided to increase the cost for the Russian market of the iPhone 6 by 25%. And just this week, they decided that it is too volatile, and they are actually going to pull out completely. They've halted all sales to Russia.
Wow. So that's quite a precedent, because then that's just one country. There's so many countries that Apple does business in, and other countries might look at that and say, hey, that's a smart model. We'll do the same. I mean, retail leaves your country, and couple that with the loss of money from the price of oil, and you're crippled.
Yeah, it's not good for the Russians. And you typically think of buying a car as a losing investment, something you certainly not want to put your money into to keep it safe. But they're rushing out and buying luxury vehicles because they're seeing that they're going to hold value better than the currency. Apple doesn't actually have any physical presence in Russia, so it was pretty easy for them to flip the switch on their online sales site and turn it off. And who knows, with things stabilized, they may turn it back on.
Are companies getting any arm twisting from our government to suspend their operations in Russia, to be part, kind of de facto part of the sanctions?
I don't know. Maybe Jay's got an answer for us on that one.
Yeah, well, that's why he's not here today. He's in a gulag somewhere being interrogated.
Exactly.
But you have to think the trend for Russia lately has not been good. You suffer all these sanctions, then you have companies as big as Apple pulling out of your economy.
Yeah,
and yet somehow Vladimir Putin gets like an 80%.
I was
going to
say, for the benefit of Aaron here, they still have a president who looks good shirtless on a horse.
That is true. He just needs to grow the long Fabio hair, and we're all good.
It's also debatable. He looks like he could do some push-ups to me.
Yeah,
he's a little flabby, isn't he?
Yeah, his sit-ups too, probably.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's got one of those barrel things going on. Okay, very good. Hey, Jeremy, thanks as always. We will, what is today? Thursday? Next Thursday is the Christmas holiday, so we're going to skip a day on the program, so we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Wait, can he give us a good tech Christmas idea for last minute shopping? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
Yeah.
You know, I have actually been playing around with some of the new cameras that are out there, some of the new mirrorless cameras that, you know, didn't have quite the optical quality or the image quality that the DSLRs used to offer. And I actually sold my Canon DSLR rig and picked up a Fuji X-E2. It's a small camera. It's got interchangeable lenses, so you can take some great photos, and the image quality is just beautiful.
Oh, wow. And that's something. If the mirror technology's gone completely in a couple of years, that'll be a bygone era. You have one of those Zeiss icons sitting on your shelf.
Right. That's, you know, right.
Show that off to the kids, and what's that, Grandpa? All right. Well, very
good. Sounds good, guys. Happy holidays. We'll
Thanks.
Talk to you
Same
soon.
To you. Take care. That's Jeremy Anticone. He's our tech dude, and he's got it going on. And we have more going on in the program here as well. In fact, why don't we go here? There's a lot of colleges out there that kids would love to get into, and the private schools. And you fight so hard. You write that personal statement. You fill out the FAFSA. You pay the fee, whatever it is, just to apply to get into that school, and you hope and you pray that they accept you, and then all of a sudden you get the letter, and I'm in! What happened?
Yeah, well, you know, it's such a stressful time for kids when they have to, you know, send out all of this stuff, take the test, and then they're just waiting and waiting to find out. Well, apparently, Baltimore, Johns Hopkins, they broke the hearts of about 294 applicants because they mistakenly sent out emails notifying them that they got accepted. And it would say, embrace the yes. And then they found out a couple hours later that it was an error and that they had not necessarily been accepted to the school.
Just a cruel hoax is what it was.
Yeah, people were not happy, and some people were posting it up on Twitter and things like that.
Embrace
and,
this, huh?
Yeah.
What a letdown, man.
Uh-huh.
You get into Johns Hopkins. Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Hopkins.
Yeah. You didn't
Did you apply
for
there?
That.
I know, right?
No. I applied to Johns Hopkins. And,
oh, that one.
I was
I've
accepted.
Heard about it. Yes.
I was accepted. It was actually a clown college.
You ever have fried Hopkins?
No, but they sound delicious.
Yeah.
Fried Hopkins.
Hey, I have the list of the top stupid criminals of 2014, and that's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Hello, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. How are you doing? Okay? We've got just a few days left if you're deeply involved in the Christmas holiday. Today is the 18th. What does that mean? 7 days?
Yeah, not a lot of time left to buy presents.
Yeah.
Means if you're going shopping this weekend, you better get ready.
The wife and I were looking at the shelf yesterday, and there really weren't a lot of things to look at. It's like things are gone.
Really picked over that already. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Uh-oh. There isn't a lot of choice. So your options are to, I think, order online and hope that you can get an overnight delivery.
That's what I did.
Has the post office come out with its deadline for, you can have it by this day? And usually the online retailers say you could have it by this day. So they use that to get you to push a little bit. But,
mm-hmm. It's getting close.
I have the top 25 stupid criminals of the year. And there's still time left for somebody to make the list, I suppose. A 33-year-old guy in Oklahoma was arrested back in January after he gave his stepfather an atomic wedgie. That's, of course, where you pull the entire waistband of someone's underwear over their head. And in this case, he killed his stepfather.
Oh, wow.
Guy tried to claim he gave the atomic wedgie in self-defense. A burglar tried to break into a bar. This is another one in Chicago. Managed to pick the lock, but was thwarted because the door said push, and he kept trying to pull. In 2014's Bestiality News, our first winner was a 61-year-old guy who was busted for having sex with a sheep and admitted in court he only went for the sheep because a cow rejected him. That's one of the stupid criminals there. And many of these are review for you. I think maybe we covered some of these. This might be the worst outcome of any highbrow literary debate ever. A 53-year-old man in Russia stabbed his 67-year-old friend back in January during an argument over which is better, poetry or prose. And I guess poetry won in this case. Now let's talk about people having sex with inanimate objects. A guy in Brazil was busted in February for breaking into a mall to have sensuous sex with a headless mannequin. A 49-year-old guy in Tennessee was arrested in May for dropping his pants at a bar and having sex with an ATM. A 33-year-old woman in Seattle was busted in August for drunkenly having sex with a bunch of lawn chairs.
Oh, my goodness.
These people have no shame.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Here's something on a different topic, but still stupid criminals. A burglar in Minnesota was thwarted in February when he broke into a fishing store and a motion-activated Big Mouth Billy Bass on the wall started singing Al Green's Take Me to the River, so the guy took off empty-handed.
See, those things were good for something.
Yeah. A 24-year-old woman in England was sentenced to 20 months in prison back in February for cyberbullying herself. She set up fake profiles to try to frame other people for cyberbullying her, but the cops eventually traced it to her. Here's another one for you. A mediocre aspiring necrophiliac in Cambodia dug up a grave so he could have sex with a corpse. A lot of sex in this stupid criminal list. But he fell asleep in the coffin. People found him there the next morning and he was arrested.
People are very lonely.
Yeah. A 47-year-old divorced dad in New Jersey desperately wanted to impress his 10-year-old and 14-year-old daughters by taking them to a One Direction concert last year. But when he couldn't get the tickets, he called in a bomb threat at the arena. Investigators traced the call to a payphone, used surveillance footage to figure out who made the call. They arrested him. The concert wound up going on as planned, and the guy was sentenced to 8 months in federal prison, and his daughters are so proud. Even when it comes to bondage, safety first, people, please. A 41-year-old dominatrix in England got a $13,000 fine for not having a fire exit in her sex dungeon.
Got to follow fire code.
Is that a stupid criminal?
Yeah, I guess. You know, how do you even get busted for that? She must have had a fire department person down there.
I think so. Those male strippers' muscles aren't just for show. A guy in Las Vegas tried to rob the Thunder from Down Under, male strippers' show at the Excalibur Hotel and Casino, and they tackled him and held him until the cops showed up.
Aww.
Here's another one. A guy in England wound up locking his wife in a shed and twisting her boobs because she wouldn't stop singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead after his mother died.
Sounds like dysfunction on many levels.
That you wish you were videotaping that.
This is the list that just keeps on giving. I'm sorry, but I have to. I'm addicted to it. I'm only up to 13. You stop me when it's gone too long.
I feel like we've covered at least 70% of these stories on this show this year.
I think we have.
Because we're all crazy, too.
But sure, we could tell a good story when we see one. The celebrity criminal of the year is 30-year-old Jeremy Meeks. When he was arrested in June, his mugshot went viral because he looks so handsome. And we have his picture on our show fun
sure.
page.
That's Dreamy McMugshot.
33-year-old guy named Christopher Reeves was arrested for drunk driving and meth possession in March, and he was wearing a Superman T-shirt at the time. Christopher Reeves played Superman in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We have a poor 30-year-old dude in Tennessee named Justin Bieber was arrested in May after getting into a bar fight. A 39-year-old woman in Florida named Tonya Harding was arrested in August for shining a laser pointer at other drivers, including a cop in an unmarked car.
And then hitting a woman with an ice skate.
Yeah. There's a Vietnamese name I can't say on the microphone because I won't say it. A guy in Ohio stole a bunch of air conditioners last summer and probably figured the worst case scenario was getting some theft charges. He was wrong. Turns out Every time he'd stole one, he'd release Freon into the air, which is a federal crime under the EPA's Clean Air Act. He wound up getting 31 months in federal prison. This is something out of a cartoon. A 30-year-old guy was running from the cops and ducked into a building to hide. Turned out the building he ducked into was the police academy.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to save some of these for another show. What do you say?
How far did we make it on the list?
We got all the way to 16 there.
There's some smart people out there.
Yeah. And there are some people making snowmen in places where it very rarely snows. Isn't that right, Chris?
That is right, Phil. New Mexico is one of those places that doesn't get a lot of snow, although it does get some snow. But I think you could say that about just about every state. And so here's what they did. They decided, look, we got to do something to celebrate Christmas, even though we don't have snow. Let's make a snowman. For the last 20 years, they've built a 14-foot-tall Frosty right off Interstate 40 as you come into town out of giant tumbleweeds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. 14 foot, huh?
14 foot tall. They take, you know, a huge tumbleweed at the base of it and then, you know, progressively.
How do they anchor those down? Because, you know, once those tumbleweeds want to start tumbling, there's no stopping them.
Sort of like you would anchor a tomato. You know those little fences that they use to grow tomatoes, those little circular
fences. Like chicken wire.
Mm-hmm. Like chicken wire. Yeah. So it actually stands up off the ground because this section of I-40 is elevated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Frosty's probably 6 foot off the ground, and then from there, the tumbleweeds are stuck onto this system. The tumbleweeds are spray-painted white. It looks very much like a snow.
How many car accidents have happened?
I don't know, but, you know, he does greet with his giant stick arm. He greets 80,000 drivers a day.
Oh, that many people drive on the 40. West, east, east, west across the country, like the 70 and the 10, right? That's one of them that you could take to drive all the way across.
It is. It's one of the largest interstates in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's one I haven't driven yet. I've driven the 10 across. I've driven the 70 across. I have not driven the 40 yet.
So New Mexico, they get my vote for most creative
state
as far as Christmas is concerned.
How about that? Shall we end on a nice note? 2 weeks ago, a 22-year-old college student in northern England named Dominique Harrison Benson was out late. And she was about to head home when she realized she'd lost her debit card and didn't have any money. Which is when a homeless guy named Robbie overheard her and offered her his last $5 for a cab. A homeless guy.
So it was all in change.
So that she wouldn't have to walk home at night. Yeah, very well it could have been. Dominique says she wouldn't accept it. She got home okay, but she was so touched by the offer, she started asking around town, and the next day tried to find him. And in the process, she found out Robbie has done nice things for other people, too. He's returned lost wallets with all the money still inside. He's even been known to offer people his scarf on cold days. So Dominique decided to help him and started a fundraising page online to raise a few $1,000 to get him an apartment. She was asking people to donate $5. Ultimately, 4,000 people donated more than $45,000 to help out.
That's awesome.
How about that?
Good stuff.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Nick Wright. For Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.